First Peter chapter 3, as we continue our study through this book. I want to read you verses 1 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." So we come to one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Not because I want to be called Lord or Master, but rather because it really is so in the face of our culture today and so misunderstood by our culture today. And therefore, I really do love every opportunity that I get to teach on this marriage relationship. There are a lot of hurting marriages in the world, a lot of hurting marriages in the church. And so I do truly love this passage because it does offer an opportunity to teach God's perspective. My sermon is called Submission, A Wife's Responsibility. And in our culture today, that title alone could cause some women to stand up and leave. I have taught on this subject before and had somebody stand up and leave. And the thinking is how terrible, how archaic, how sexist, how patriarchal we as a society, they would say, have come so much further than that. Women lead in the same ways that men lead today. They're heads of households. They have careers, which I find ironic, really. I find ironic because the same woman who thinks submission to her husband is sexist and patriarchal has no problem submitting to her male boss at work, if she has one. And they might say, well, that's different. That's different. Well, actually, it's not. It's not different. For a wife submitting to her husband is not about him being better than her, more important than her, smarter than her, more valuable than her. It's about harmony. Harmony in the home. I mean, I have known employees who are smarter, of better character, and even better leaders than their employers. But because there must be order in an organization, the employee is responsible to submit to their boss because the boss is the one that's going to be held accountable. Any act otherwise is insubordination, worthy of termination in a workplace. You see, the word submit used in our passage today is exactly that kind of word. It's a responsibility to maintain or even create harmony in a place. It's the same word. The word here that we find in verse 1 of chapter 3 is the same word we talked about back in the middle of chapter 2 concerning employees submitting to their employers, and nobody had a problem with that. It's a word that's also used as a military term. In order to have harmony, there must be a chain of command, so to speak. And the one held accountable is the one that is given the authority. And it's the same in the family. It's the husband who is held accountable to God for his family. And therefore, he is given this authority to lead. Perfect example is in the Garden of Eden. It was Eve who took the forbidden fruit, but it was Adam who was held accountable for that. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men." And then two verses later, it's Adam that is named. Eve took the fruit. Adam was held accountable because of order. God has given husbands that responsibility, that authority, that accountability. In fact, every single passage of Scripture on the husband and wife relationship communicates the husband's authority and the wife's submission to it, because he's going to be held accountable for his family. So wives submitting to their own husbands is not, it's not about him being better. It's not about him being more important or smarter or more valuable. Men and women are equal in value, equal in importance, oftentimes equal in even capability. But for the sake of harmony in the family, God has given husbands the authority and holds them accountable for it. And that's why submission is a wife's responsibility. Her submission to her husband is equally as critical as her husband's responsibility to lead well. Now, next week, we're going to look at part of the husband's responsibility to his wife. So, men, you better come back. You better come back, okay? Because you will be held responsible to consider your wife. In fact, the word honor is used. You are held responsible to honor your wife, just as your wife is held responsible to honor you. Submission is not a bad word. And in this letter, we've already seen God command believers to submit to government institutions. Servants are committed to submit or commanded to submit to their bosses. The church is commanded to submit to Christ. Christ was commanded, or not commanded, he submitted perfectly. Perfectly to the Father. And as we don't have an issue with any of those, any of the above, wives submitting to their own husbands should not be an issue either. Submission is a good word. It is a good word. Salvation from sin came as a result of Christ's submission to the Father in bearing the sins of the world. And it was received by our submission to Him. Submission is a good word. It is a powerful word. And therefore, that wives, we're talking to wives this morning. Well, actually quite a bit to husbands too. So that wives might willingly empower their husbands, we're going to look at three aspects of this submission this morning. Submission is a wife's responsibility. And the first aspect that we find are the products of submission. The products of submission. And let's read verses 1 and 2 again. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." So this is a wife submitting to her own husband. This is not every woman submitting to every man. All men are not in authority over all women. This is specific to harmony in the Christian family. This is specific to a Christian wife to her own husband. Janine and I have some friends up in the St. George area. We've known them for many, many years. But when they first married, she was a believer and he was not. And that, by the way, is not God's ideal, but it was their situation. And while she would admit that it was not easy, she, to the best of her ability, lived this passage out in her life. While she was the only spiritual influence in that family, she submitted to her husband in every way that Christ would desire her to. This does not mean that she gave into sinful patterns or sinful demands or sinful requests, but rather submitted in every area that the Lord would want her to submit. And he noticed that. He felt respected. And in time, he came to the Lord. He came to the Lord. And the Lord began to teach him then how to honor his wife, how to consider his wife in everything he does. The Lord taught him how to lead that home in a godly fashion. And she just continued to submit. Understandably, it got easier for her. And today, their marriage is a harmonious one, a biblical one. Here are some of the products of a wife's submission to her husband. The first one is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. In the last verses of the previous chapter, Peter described the submission of Christ to the Father's will. Well, in the original text, the very first word, of course, Greek has a little bit different word order, but oftentimes they'll move a word to the front of the sentence for emphasis. And this is one of those cases, because in the original language, the first word of chapter 3 is likewise. Just like Christ submitted, wives must submit to their own husband. Christ-likeness is the most important product of doing this. For whether a husband responds or not, really every believer, every single believer is called to Christ-likeness. And a wife's submission to her own husband is Christ-like. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In Colossians 2:6, it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Christ-likeness is the first product of submission. Here's the second: chaste conduct. Chaste means pure and innocent. It is the wife living an honest, pure, innocent life in front of her husband. Blameless might be a good word to define that. Meaning there's nothing that he might point, or excuse me, nothing that he might observe, no patterns or practices that he might observe in her that are contrary to Scripture. Not perfect, but pure in practice. And the word fear spoken of at the end of the verse is really a demonstration of that pure life because of her love for God. It's because of her love and respect for God's character that she lives her life in front of her husband as unto the Lord. And it's observable. It's noticeable. And this leads to the third potential product, conversion of observers, namely her husband. Now, every believer, every single one of us should live a pure, God-honoring life so that others will notice and potentially want it too. All right? Peter talked about that back in chapter 2, but this passage indicates that an unsaved husband, might even be one to the Lord by observing these submissively Christ-like, chaste, God-fearing conduct of his wife. As we think back to when this letter was written by Peter, most of the converts to Christianity back then were coming from religions that were pagan. There were lots of wives who were coming to Christ and wondering, how might I get my husband to see Jesus and trust in him too? And Peter here says, put God first. Put God first. Live that Christ-like life before him. Submit to your husband as to the Lord. In every area that the Lord would want you to submit to him in those areas. And perhaps in time, he'll come to the Lord. He'll trust in him. It worked out that way for our friends up in St. George. These are some of the products of a wife submitting to her own husband. Next, Peter describes the proof of submission. The proof of submission. This is really what it looks like, okay? Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." If you were to watch a conversation take place between two people, and you're watching it from afar, you can't hear what's being said, but you're just watching it. And one person is apparently doing all of the talking, and they're pointing, and they're doing this and that, and the other person is just standing there listening. Who's submitting to who? All right. The quiet one is submitting to the one that's doing all the talking. Probably the listener, okay? Well, Peter here counters a natural and almost universal desire of women to tell their husbands what to do. Sometimes over and over and over and over again. And Peter is here saying that won't win him. That won't win him. Years ago, a man and his ever nagging wife went on vacation to Jerusalem. And while they were there, the wife unfortunately passed away. The undertaker told the husband, "You can have her buried right here in the Holy Land for $150, or we can send her home with you for about $5,000. And the husband thought about it and told the undertaker, you know, let's have her shipped home. And the undertaker asked him, why would you spend $5,000 when you can have a beautiful place for her here for $150? And the husband replied, well, I learned while I was here that long ago a man died, was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And I just can't take that chance. Thank you for laughing at that. This was one of those jokes where I'm going back and forth. Do I tell it? And Janine is typically my decider. And she said do it. So if you have problems with that, you can talk to her later, okay? By inspiration of God, Peter says that proof of submission is not in outward expression. And he does talk about just adornment and that sort of thing. But the point is, he talks about a quiet spirit, gentle and quiet spirit. So he's talking about this outward expression, okay? And there are really two sides to this. By inspiration, he says, proof of submission is not in the outward expression, okay, but rather in a quiet inward spirit. And here are two sides to this verse. The proof, he says, is not in mere outward decoration, outward expression. Now, Peter is not condemning making yourself look attractive for your husband. He's not condemning hairdos, jewelry, fine clothing. Husbands actually like that. I like that. Matt, do you like that? Yeah, Matt likes that. See? He's just saying that focusing on perhaps even overdoing of the outward is not going to show or prove submission. And that can extend not only to appearances, but outward verbal expression too. The proof is not in the mere outward decoration. The proof is in a marked inner disposition. He says, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. This will actually be more noticeable than anything outward. Our spirit, our inner disposition, and I'm speaking to all of us right now, our spirit, our inner disposition will speak volumes to those around us. And here's what will speak volumes to a husband, a gentle spirit. Our verse says, this is a disposition, really, of being gentle, humble, okay? This is a woman who puts others before herself, who puts her husband before herself, just like Christ did the church, and just like husbands must do for their wives, too. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. Let this mind be in you. The passage says that was also in Christ Jesus. That is a gentle spirit. But Peter also says a quiet spirit. This does not mean to be verbally silent. In fact, the word of God must be spoken. The word quiet here in the original Greek actually means to stay seated and still. And it is from this disposition that a wife can and should speak the word of God in gentleness. It creates, really, this word creates an image of not getting up and preaching over or at him, but rather having a disposition that is gentle. That is gentle and quietly spoken, relaxed, lived out through a chaste conduct and service to her husband. Not preaching, not argumentative, not debating, not nagging, but rather prayerful, quoting scripture, service, living out that Christ-like life before him. And our passage also says that this is very precious in the sight of God. A gentle spirit, a quiet spirit, a precious spirit. And I think it's precious for three main reasons. I think it's precious for three main reasons. It's precious because it is God's ideal. God loves it when his children live in accord with his word and will. It's precious because it is God's ideal. And it's precious because it's not common. Diamonds are precious because they are not common. A humble and quiet spirit in both women and men is not common. I have done marriage counseling, and without fail, every marriage that is having trouble because either the wife does not have a spirit of submissiveness, or the husband is not considerate of his wife. By the way, that's next week, men. Or both. Most times, both husband and wife are guilty at least a little bit of not fulfilling their God-given responsibilities. And rather, each focuses on what the other is not doing. If he'll just do this, if she'll just do that, then everything would be just fine. No, God did not give you the responsibility to change your wife or complain about your wife. He gave you the responsibility to change you, to submit to the Spirit of Christ and grow in godliness. He gave you the responsibility to change you and to honor your wife. Submit to your husband. But here concerning wives, a gentle and quiet spirit is precious because it's not common. And then it's precious because it can't win a soul. It can win a soul. It's precious because it can win a soul. For that wife who has an unbelieving husband, or a husband perhaps that is not walking with the Lord, for that wife who has that husband, this advice could lead him to the Lord. That's the hope. That's what God wants too. Women, if you want to lead your husband to the Lord, do it through your submission to him. Prove it by your gentle and quiet spirit. So we've seen the products of submission, the proof of submission, and lastly this morning, the precedent of submission. The precedent of submission. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, "For in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Without question, the happiest and most joyful marriages I have ever witnessed had a submissive wife and a considerate husband. Without question, the most miserable marriages I have ever witnessed had dominant wives and inconsiderate husbands. I don't know how else to state this. The proof is kind of in the pudding, so to speak. I've never seen a good marriage that consisted of a dominant wife and an inconsiderate husband. I've never seen it. I've never seen a bad marriage that consisted of a submissive wife and considerate husbands. And if one spouse is and the other isn't, it's probably the one who is that's holding the marriage together. Without fail. That's what I've witnessed. That's what I've seen without fail. I've never even heard of anything different. And neither had Peter. So he states a precedent of good marriage. He says, holy women of the past were submissive. And we learn a few things here. Their trust in God, first of all, made them holy. They trusted in God, and it not only washed their sins away in the eyes of the Lord, but it set them apart from the world because they submitted to their own husband. So their trust in God made them holy, and their submission adorned them. Honestly, I imagine other husbands perhaps rightfully desiring that their own wife was more like these wives. Or wrongly, I want to emphasize this, husbands wrongly stating, I wish you were more like that Sarah down the road. Or that Ruth over there, okay? Either way, their submission to their own husbands adorned them. Holy women of the past were submissive and had good marriages. Not perfect, but good marriages. Marriages that served as an example. And then the mother of a nation was submissive, namely Sarah. Now you can read the story for yourself about Abraham and Sarah in the book of Genesis, and you will quickly learn that they were far from perfect people, okay? They did not have a perfect marriage. However, on the scale of good and bad, they had a good one. They had a good one because Sarah obeyed Abraham. She submitted to him. This does not mean that he was a dictator. This does not mean that she always did everything right. In fact, the biggest trouble that they got into was on an occasion where she was dominant and he was inconsiderate. But overall, Sarah submitted to Abraham. Sarah called him Lord. And as much as that might ruffle some feministic feathers, really, it was merely a respectful term of endearment. Now, next week, we will see that husbands must honor their wives. Perhaps Abraham called Sarah your honor. But the word Lord there is just a word that expressed Sarah's respect for who she saw her husband to be in her life. In fact, this particular word, Lord, is not a name of God, but rather a term that expresses authority. And just as we said earlier when we began this message, God has given husbands the authority over their wives because they are the ones who are going to be held accountable. And wives submitting to their own husbands is not about him being better or more important. Okay? It's not about him being better or more important or smarter or more valuable to God. Men and women are equal They're equal in value, equal in importance, but for the sake of order, for the sake of harmony in the home, God has given husbands the authority and holds them accountable for it. And Sarah rightly recognized that through this term of endearment. That's all the word means there. Verse 6 ends saying, "Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Just in closing out this morning, Samia Sulu is the female president of the nation of Tanzania. She says that the tradition of submitting to one's husband should remain because it strengthens the family bond and ensures children are brought up with good manners. She states proudly that she submits to her husband and adds, "I don't do it because I'm inferior. It's because of love and affection." And while she is actually Islamic, she's right. She's right. That's the point. I also, what led me to that statement she made was an article that I read by a feminist opposing that statement. She says, "To insist that women submit is to enforce the gender hierarchy imposed by patriarchy, and feminism seeks to do away with the gender hierarchy, so submission to feminists is a foreign concept." Unless you work for a male boss. I added that last part. Many feminists believe that submissive wives are cowards, that they're part of the problem. Much of the world is opposed to wives submitting to their husbands, and they will fight it. They will mock it. They will ridicule wives that are. Funny, though, they're not opposed to husbands being considerate to their wives as God tells men to do. Next week, men. But if you, wives, are not afraid of how your husband will respond to your submission, if you're not terrified of how society might respond to your submission, then you will be like a daughter of Sarah. You can have a good, God-honoring marriage. You can be an example of goodness, the goodness of God's design, if you'll do what is right and are not afraid to submit. It's Christ-like. It's unconditional. It doesn't require reciprocation. It's you being Christ-like. And marriages need that. Father, thank you for this passage. It is in our world today, it is a hard one to take in because of the loudness of worldly views that surround us. But Lord, you do have your ideal. History has shown that it works. Observation shows that it is right. And I pray, Father, that perhaps we would take to heart what was said here, recognize that it is your word telling us this. Your word is eternal. It is right from generation to generation. It's not archaic. And Lord, I pray that we would take what we're learning here. Wives this week, husbands next week, take what we're learning here and incorporate it into our marriage so that we can be Christ-like, so that we can minister to our spouse, but also so that others on the outside would observe our spirit, our disposition, our honor and service toward our spouse, and they would want it too. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand one more time.